Good morning. How privileged we are to open the Word of God, to meditate upon what He has spoken in time and space and history for us and preserved in writing for our own uplifting here in the 21st century. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 39 and following. It's printed for you in the bulletin, also on page 1088 for the longer story. I may be referencing the longer story during today's message. But prior to this account we're going to read, the angel Gabriel had just visited Mary, the Virgin Mary, and telling her that she would miraculously give birth to a child, and this young lady believed it. She wasn't quite sure how that was going to happen, never having a relationship with a man, but she believed it, that this Messiah would be born through her. And she was also told that her older cousin, who was past childbearing, she also had become miraculously pregnant through her husband, through Elizabeth's husband. And now the angel leaves, and Mary is eager to talk to her cousin. And so she rushes off from Galilee, some 80 to 100 miles down to Judea, for these two pregnant women to talk about the excitement in the air, and they're part of it. I trust that you're getting excited now as you anticipate yourselves celebrating His coming. Please stand as we read from the Word of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 39 and following. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Hear the Word of God. Receive it. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." God's Word, may He plant it deep in your hearts and lives. Please be seated. Let me launch today's message by drawing your attention to a familiar brief prayer from David in the 51st Psalm. David, having known the Lord for some time, he finds himself praying in a certain way. And he prays these words, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Can you pray those words with me? Restore to me the joy of your salvation. When I was much younger, growing up, across from our house was a garage, which my father owned, an automobile repair shop, one bay garage. And we had a candy counter there, and I loved to eat the candy. We had a few parts for repairing cars, and my dad had a rack of tires in stock. As you know, if you drive a car, especially on wet conditions like we've been having, if your tires aren't in the greatest shape, you can slide all over the road. And that's how it is going through life sometimes. We feel like we're sliding. We're not gripping the road and moving forward safely and in a way that would be much more appreciated and enjoyable. And so they came out with these recap tires. How many knows what recap tires? You know what those are, right? That's kind of like you take the old tire with the treads getting thin, and you don't get a brand new tire, you just renew the tire. You put a cap, a brand new cap, and you're ready to go, grip the road of life again, and go down the highway, driving along in a much more enjoyable, safer way. And so it is, I believe, in our Christian lives. We know that something wonderful has happened to us. Raise your hand if something wonderful has happened to you. You know what I'm talking about. That's why we're here Sunday after Sunday. You've had something that happened to you in time, space, and history that has brought you to a place in life where you're happy to be, founding God through Jesus Christ, knowing you're forgiven, knowing there's a better place coming, and then you're on your way there. But somehow, as we're driving there, the tires get a bit thin. And we don't sense that joy that we may have had in a greater depth in the past. And so it's great that we have things like Christmas to bring us back to the historical beginning of our joy. Because we tend to find ourselves sometimes in a funk. We find ourselves a bit thin on our joy, and perhaps just making it from Sunday to Sunday, but maybe not a lot of enthusiasm about what God has done for us. And so, like David, we can pray, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Even a great man like David can lose his joy, especially if he's been somewhere and done something that he shouldn't have done. And at this point in time, as we look at this text, and we see that Elizabeth and Mary, they don't need their joy renewed. They were caught up in it, in the excitement of that joy that God brought into the world and was bringing through Mary. How do we know that Elizabeth and Mary were filled with joy? Well, again, let me summarize as we get to come to this text what had just happened prior to this text. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following, again, angel Gabriel had appeared to Mary. And he says, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Son of God, the Messiah. And Mary, a virgin, she's not sure how it can be, but she believes it. She believes that somehow God is going to put a child inside her, having never been connected to a man. And this child she will give birth to. She wonders how it's going to happen, and she asks, and of course she's told, right? You will conceive a child by the Holy Spirit, as the power of God on high will descend upon her through the Spirit of God. And then she's also told about her older cousin, who's past childbearing, and she says, and your cousin, Elizabeth too, she's going to conceive a child. Which brings us to the text. The angel leaves. And now Mary, as I said, she's off from Galilee, traveling south down to Judah, and she's going 3 or 4 days travel. They didn't have cars back then. So she's going on this trip, and she's hurrying off. You see in the opening verse there, in verse 39, how do we know there's joy? Well, she's in a hurry to get to see her older cousin. And they greet each other. And what's Elizabeth's response? Do you see it there in the text? In verse 42, Elizabeth gives a huge shout as Mary comes to greet her. A huge cry, apparently a shout of joy. Elizabeth also noticed the baby leaps inside Elizabeth in verse 41. And I want to ask you this. What is Elizabeth's take on that child moving suddenly? How many of you women have been pregnant and you've had this child all of a sudden go, boom? Raise your hand. Give me the obvious. Right? You felt the sudden moves, right? So what's Mary's take on this? Oh, you know, he must have been uncomfortable. You know, this child, he must have been crammed up there. Or no, maybe he's growing. No, that's not her take. What's she say on this sudden movement? She says, the child inside my womb leaped for joy. You understand that Elizabeth herself is excited and takes this motion inside of her to be a movement of joy, a leap of joy. In conclusion, you have to reach from the text is no doubt that Elizabeth and Mary both were filled with joy as these two miracle moms get themselves in the same room so they can talk about what is this all about? How in the world do we become miraculously pregnant? No doubt they had great reason to be happy. Just pregnancy in itself is a joy. And you mothers who have become privileged that way and for the first time, you know what a joy it is to be given this gift from God. But to be having inside you a child who's going to be a forerunner to the Messiah is even a more joyous occasion. As Elizabeth would know that her child would pave the way, get people ready to prepare their hearts and lives for the coming of Messiah. And of course, John the Baptist, who would be born through Elizabeth, his message would be basically, hey, do you understand that there's stuff wrong in your life? You need to get rid of it. You need to repent and get that out of your life. Are you not prepared for his coming? And so I ask you and myself, is there something in your life you need to get rid of, to turn away from? If you're not willing to turn away, you're not prepared. When he comes, it won't be a message of joy. It'll be a message of judgment when he comes that second time. But as he comes the first time, he's not coming to judge us, but he's coming to uplift us. But we've got to be prepared. Prepare our hearts to receive him and make room for him. Then, of course, Mary had reason to be excited because she wasn't just carrying the forerunner, but she, within her womb, was carrying God's Messiah, the incarnate Lord himself. Notice the words of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is aware of it. In verse 43, she says, why is this granted to me? Why am I given this privilege that, quote, the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth apparently is aware that who it is that is the special child inside her cousin, this young Mary. Mary is carrying the Lord himself, and she is called here the mother of my Lord, God incarnate. What a joyous and yet thought-provoking statement to be carrying somehow God within your own womb. And yet, here we find the truth of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. Still not showing, though. Elizabeth was showing 6 months, and had you been there, you could say, wow, you've gained 10 pounds or whatever. But for Mary, she's not showing a sign. She She just found out the word, and she just believed it by faith. Wow. That's a strong belief. You know, throughout history, as we think about the people of the book, in the book, we find that God's people, for ages, generation after generation, have believed and looked forward to the coming of someone special who would come to bless us and whom we are about to celebrate and beginning to celebrate this season. As the late Bishop Alexander Milant of Buenos Aires in South America rightly tells us, he says, quote, "The central theme of the Old Testament Holy Book is the coming of the Messiah and the establishment of the kingdom of God among people." End quote. That's what the book's about. The coming of the Messiah to establish His kingdom, to retread the tires one final and last time so that we might never need to retread them again. But for now, we've got to keep renewing the joy until it happens. You know, as I said, the history of God's people that long for His coming. We see, for example, after John was finally born, he started preaching and teaching. And what's it say in Luke 3:15? It says, "The people," and I quote from the NIV, "the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah." People were wondering when John was born about Elizabeth's child. Is this the Messiah? You see, there were people waiting for the Messiah. Or take the woman at the well in John 4:25. As Jesus had an encounter with the woman at the well, and she was trying to figure out who is Jesus. There are people around your family, around your community, maybe you yourself, maybe people hearing my voice online, who are wondering, who is this Jesus? And they haven't figured it out yet. And so they might ask, like the woman at the well, she said, "Well, I know that the Messiah's come. If Messiah's coming, He will tell us all things." But there He was, Jesus, standing right there in front of her, and she hadn't quite put it together. He's the one that God's people have been waiting for. Even prophets themselves wondered who it would be, how it looked, what it would finally come down to, as we see in 1 Peter 1:10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ, the Messiah in them, was pointing. And so we see a history of people, and I trust you're in that long line of history. You're waiting and longing for His coming. Dare I ask the question this morning, how many of you enjoy pain? Who enjoys a broken relationship? None of us, right? Dare I ask, who enjoys struggling to pay your bills and having a hard time doing it? Who enjoys waking up and still being tired? And so we make up sayings like dazed and confused, because often we are. And we make up saying like I'm an 18-year-old woman trapped in a 50-year-old body. We feel young inside, but we know that on the outside we're struggling. Or we say things like, I'm 29 and holding. Because there's something about after you get 29 and longer, it's just some things there that aren't too exciting when we look at them a certain way. Or we say things like, I'm out of here because of the situation's too much. Or we say TGIF. And we wish it were TGIS, TGIM, TGIT, TGIW, and so forth and so on. Thank God I can finally get some relief. Not just because the week's over, because the struggle's over. And isn't that what the Messiah is about? to bring us one final relief, one final resting place. Samuel Butler reminds us, and he says, I quote, "Life is one long process of getting tired," end quote. And for those of you who are getting grayer, you know what that's about. Those of you who are young, you have a lot of life ahead of you. But believe me, you'll believe in Samuel Butler one day. But despite all of our problems and challenges, you know what? In 2 hours, 1 p.m., something's going to happen. The Ravens will be playing the Dolphins. And you know what's going to happen on December 21st? Winter will come. And with all your problems, you know what's going to happen on January 1st? That's only 4 weeks away, roughly. A new year is coming. It's coming. With all your problems, it's going to descend right down upon you. A new year. And there's something else descending. It was beginning to descend on Mary and would descend outward into the world. And he will descend again. The question is, are you believing in his coming? Are you looking forward to it? You know, it's interesting, when he comes the second time, he will come in judgment for some and blessing for others. And you know the difference between receiving the judgment of God and the blessing of God? Is your confidence in his coming. Do you believe? Do you look forward to his birth into our world? Is that your hope? You know, in the Bible, there's a huge link between blessing and believing. There's a huge link between blessing and believing. Mary believed and she was blessed. Look at that 46th verse. Blessed is she who believed. I find it interesting that Elizabeth says these words. And you know what happened when Elizabeth's husband was told his wife would be pregnant? He didn't believe. Go back and read it in Luke 1:20. You know what happened to him? Judgment. A 9-month judgment. He couldn't speak. He couldn't say a word because he didn't believe and his mouth was stopped. I hope you're not that slow to believe, because it won't just stop your mouth. It'll stop everything good coming your way. And so God was coming into the world telling Mary, hey, you know, I want to bless you. She wasn't sure how it was all going to work out, how she could possibly become pregnant. A young girl, probably 12, 13, 14 years old. And now all of a sudden she's being told, you are going to have Messiah, give birth to Messiah. She says, I believe it. Lord, I'm your servant. Do with me whatever you wish. And that's what we find her saying there just prior to this text, verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to you, have said. You know, in Hebrews 11:6, you know what it says? Without faith, it's impossible for you to please God. Without faith, without you having a confidence that God wants to bless you, do you know what? You can't please God. And you also shouldn't expect anything from Him. Do you know how you get righteousness? Do you know how you get morally accepted? Do you know how you become morally beautiful? It's through faith. Romans 1:16. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith. Look at yourself. How do you feel about yourself? How does God feel about you? If you have faith in the Messiah, God feels real good about you. And you ought to feel real good about yourself because you are righteous. You're real morally beautiful. Or take the issue of everlasting life in John 20. Jesus performed many miracles, many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life everlasting. How do we get life everlasting? It's through confidence, faith in the coming of the Messiah. The Lord has come to bless us, and the Lord will come again. The question is, as he comes, will he find you believing? Let us pray. Lord, we bow before you. We pray that you would give us a great confidence in your coming. Lord, grant us time in our lives to reflect upon your coming, that we might reflect upon the story over and over again, how the Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that he was born to bring us life and to bring it more abundantly. And Lord, we pray that as we reflect upon this miraculous event in time and history, that indeed our faith would grow. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. And Lord, grant us not only the time, but the wherewithal to reflect often on your blessing as we celebrate it this season and each day from Sunday to Sunday. May we find renewed joy as we think about how blessed we are through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. This time we will renew